Welcome to the Doug Haldeman Show, Mortgage and Real Estate Talk, a show committed to educating, empowering, and entertaining you while saving you thousands. Here's your host, mortgage expert and consumer advocate, Doug Haldeman.
Formal education will make you a living. Self-education will make you a fortune. It's time to gain knowledge and become the guardian of your financial future. I want to thank our sponsor, Cornerstone Mortgage, known for having the lowest rates and the smoothest closings.
If you have a question you would like addressed on the air, you can call or text the show at 314-472-DOUG. That's 472-DOUG, which is 3684. All the information from our show is on our website at DougHaldeman.com.
That's DougHaldeman.com. I'm joined by my trusted co-host, my beautiful wife, Tammy Haldeman. Welcome, Tammy.
Thanks for having me.
I am always happy to have you.
Yeah.
Good to enjoy a Sunday with you.
4th of July is over.
It is.
So it was fun.
Been a lot of fireworks in the economy, too.
Yeah. Let's get into that.
It's been a turbulent week.
Right.
Well, so first turbulence, the international markets. This turmoil in Greece, is this saga ever going to end?
I'm not sure.
it's funny how a country as small as Greece can have, you can shake up the markets as much as what it's done.
It is surprising, and I guess a lot of people take for granted that other areas of our world do affect us here in the U.S.
Right.
So.
Well, it's definitely a far-reaching effect. So
right.
A couple other big things that happened this week. The first Friday of every month, which they did it on Thursday this month because of 4th of July,
right.
Comes the jobs report. Okay, it's the non-farms payroll, so it's all the jobs that are not farm related, and they came in a little weaker than expected. 223,000 new jobs created in June, which was below the expectations of 233,000. Doesn't seem like a big miss, except that they reduced the numbers from May and from April. Okay, by 60,000 jobs. So when they came out with the numbers in April and May, they overestimated, and now they've come out with the real numbers and said, wait, sorry, we missed. There were actually 60,000 less jobs those months, and this month was less than
what
they
thought. So that they can give themselves an A, I guess.
I guess so, but now they have to go back and grade their own paper, and it didn't grade very well.
Mm. So what is the unemployment rate now?
Okay, so the unemployment rate declined this month from 5.5% down to 5.3%. Okay, and I always want to look not just at the national unemployment rate, but what do we see in Missouri and then even in St. Louis? So Missouri unemployment, very close to the national average, is at 5.7%, and the St. Louis metro area is at 5.5% on inflation. So they're both right
pretty close.
They're both right in line with the national average. So we have to dig deeper in these numbers, though, because one of the main reasons that we saw the unemployment rate go down, it was because of the labor force participation.
So more people left their jobs.
Well, 432,000 less people in the labor force this month. Okay, so here's where this gets really important, is that household survey, where unemployment rate is derived from, actually shows a loss of 56,000 jobs, but we're showing that unemployment got better. Okay, I don't think so. Okay, we'd have to see an increase in the unemployment rate if such a large number of workers did leave the labor force. So here's where this comes from, because the labor force participation rate was 62.9%. Okay, that means 62.9% of the able-bodied workers actually are out participating in the workforce. That's the lowest level in 38 years. And here's one of the easiest ways that the Bureau of Labor Statistics and the government can skew these stats. Okay, the unemployment rate that gets published is what they call the U3 unemployment rate. Okay, I don't know where these numbers come from, but U3 is what they call it. The U6 unemployment rate, to me, is a much better view of what it really should look like. Okay, so the U6, here's what it is. The U6 takes the normal unemployment rate from U3, but it includes two groups of people that the U3 does not. So first, marginally attached workers, so people who are not actively looking for work, but who have indicated that they want a job and have looked for work without success sometime in the past 12 months.
This
includes discouraged workers, which is a funny classification, who have completely given up on finding a job because they feel that they just aren't going to find one. So they take them out of the stats. So they're no longer unemployed according to the unemployment
stat. Oh, I see how they're doing it.
Yes. Yeah. So here's the second one that's included in the U6. So people who are looking for full-time work but have to settle for a part-time job due to economic reasons. So they need some money coming into their family, so they just go get a part-time job, so they're not on the unemployment report anymore. But they're hardly gainfully employed at that point.
I see.
So they want full-time work. They just can't find it. Two pretty important groups, don't you think?
Yeah, that's a big two parts.
Yeah, absolutely. I think those are very important groups, and to try to ignore those is scary. I mean, there's no way they can ignore those and have accurate
unemployment true number, right?
Absolutely. So the real unemployment rate, instead of being the 5.3% that they advertise, is really 10.5%. Okay, 10.5% is the U6 number, and that's the one that includes these two critically important groups of people. And I have no idea why they don't publicize that number.
Yeah, that's interesting. Is it just to try to encourage, you think, the economy or people's hopes? And
well, you know, I don't want to make this a political show, but I'll say that the current administration wants to leave office, showing that we're at full employment.
True, right.
But what does that really mean?
Right, okay, right.
The numbers are a sham.
Well, Doug, maybe we should just get a ruling from the Supreme Court on this subject, on how we rate the unemployment. So speaking of that, I heard something this week about the Supreme Court ruling on the housing discrimination and the fair housing lawsuits. I am sure you know all about it. And I just heard it in passing. So,
well, unfortunately, I do know a little bit about it. So the Supreme Court ruled on Thursday that housing discrimination lawsuits can proceed without proof of any kind of intentional bias. Okay, they call this disparate impact. Unintentional bias. Okay, so here's where I want to be careful even talking about this subject, is that I am not a supporter of any type of housing discrimination. Okay, I believe that there should be protected classes when, you know, that housing shouldn't be based on race, gender, marital status, you know, any of the protected classes I think should be protected, okay? Here's where the problem is with this ruling. So what they did is this, back in the days of civil rights era litigation, they basically had stuff in place that could allow lawsuits with unintentional bias.
Right.
Okay. So, but they never enforced it.
Okay.
Okay. So now the Supreme Court is actually ruling that it is okay for them to enforce this. So what this is going to do is it's going to trigger a lot of lawsuits, because people have to put almost affirmative action type things in place to force the industry to apply, you know, apply this sort of mindset. So let me just give you an example. If I'm a loan officer, or if I'm a mortgage company, and you know, we do, let's say our office is based in a certain area. If our office is based in, let's say it's in Chesterfield as an example. Okay, and most of the loans we do are from people that live right around in there. Okay, then our statistics could be skewed, because it could look like we're giving a different type of loan. We're doing predominant loans for one type of protected class, and maybe giving them a different deal. And like, you may specialize, like maybe you have one certain loan product that is a fantastic deal, but it attracts only a certain type of customer. Well, now all of a sudden you may have some intentional bias. I mean, some unintentional bias right, in your statistics.
So another one, in layman's terms, is say you have a job requirement and they have to have a high school diploma requirement for the labor, to screen my labor. That now can be considered unintentional biased for a certain demographic of a person.
Right, because that education requirement could then get a certain type of applicant.
A ton of people, right.
Right, then it could
be.
And
that's unintentional.
Right, absolutely. Unintentional bias, so that your bias, like for instance, for us, we're biased based on credit scores.
Right.
Okay, credit scores are not a protected class.
That's dictated by the government.
Right. Well, yeah, that's
ironically enough.
Definitely not a protected class, and somebody with a higher credit score gets a better rate than somebody with a lower credit score. Nothing wrong with that, but right. that that can cause unintentional bias,
right?
And it's going to open up to a bunch of lawsuits around that.
So basically, that's what's happening is now people are going to start filing more lawsuits against that.
Right. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And what we're seeing
just
is
what we need.
Well, and all these votes in the Supreme Court right now are 5-4.
Mm-hmm.
They're directly voting based on their political affiliation and who appointed them, whatever party they were in, determines how they vote as Supreme Court justices. And really a good example of this isn't even in the Supreme Court, but we're seeing right now Obama is trying to use HUD, the Department of Housing and Urban Development, to make a bid to diversify wealthy neighborhoods.
Right. And basically, this regulation would use grant money as an incentive for communities to build affordable housing in more affluent areas. So while also taking steps to upgrade the poorer areas with better schools, parks, libraries, grocery stores, and transportation as part of the
gentrification.
Thank you. That's a hard word. Right. It kind of sounds okay, but there's a lot of consequences that can come to this. And you mentioned one off air to me that I didn't even think about, and that is forcing the cities to have to rezone things that have already been zoned commercial. And if they don't rezone it, then their funding will be taken away.
Right. And so if you think about how could this force cities to rezone, well, let's say your area – your municipality that you live in,
mm-hmm.
the only area left to build on is zoned commercial.
Right.
And it's waiting to be built, you know, maybe developed by a commercial developer.
Right.
Well,
it
now
hopes to create jobs.
Right. So right now, they're going to be doing analysis on these communities. And if you don't have enough diversification embedded in it, then they're going to withhold grant money from you.
Right.
Okay. So it's going to cost you money if you're one of those communities. So you might have to change your zoning to be able to make that development now a Section 8 housing development.
This is
not going to go over real well in a lot of areas. And you know, a lot of people will want to turn this into some sort of race issue or something like that. And I really don't feel like it is a race issue. I think that it's more of an economic issue, really.
Well, and it's again, the government being involved in something they really shouldn't be involved in. And that's, I think you said something about the natural order to me. And so kind of lead us into that a little bit. What was your thought process on that?
Well, okay, so we know that anytime the government gets involved in things, it usually doesn't turn out well, right?
No.
I mean, that's pretty much agreed. I think most of our listeners will agree with that. So as they're trying to do this neighborhood engineering
mm-hmm.
by trying to create this unrealistic utopia in a society, it violates the natural order. And here's what I believe about that is that we all choose to hang out with people that are like ourselves. Okay.
For the most part, yeah.
We choose friends that are like ourselves. And here's a good example. This is how after we record the show, Tammy, you and I go to Central West End frequently and we'll eat dinner.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay. We like Central West End, and it's absolutely no judgment of those people, but it's a very liberal area.
It is.
Okay. You wouldn't see somebody that's a staunch conservative, like a right-wing Christian conservative, really want to move down to the Central West End or say in St. Louis City.
Probably not.
Because they're going to want to live around people that are similar to them.
Mm-hmm.
Vice versa, you don't see like a really far left-wing liberal that wants to live in St. Charles County.
Mm-hmm.
There are exceptions to the rule.
Right.
But in general, people want to hang out with somebody that's like them. So you choose a neighborhood.
They feel comfortable in. Neighborhood they feel comfortable being
Absolutely.
Themselves in.
You choose a neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be people that are the most like you in many cases.
Mm-hmm.
And this violates that. It violates that natural order because now the government is
what
going to choose.
What it violates is the right to choose where you want to live is what it violates. And that's what I have a hard time with. I'm not even talking about race or anything like that. It's just taking away that choice. Now, I mean, I'm willing to talk about the positive of it is that if they do create affordable housing, it can bring people that are choosing to want to improve their life, not forcing them to improve their life. There's a major difference, and we've talked about entitlement. Like if someone's given everything their whole life, they're not as grateful or they don't take ownership of that. Whereas if they have a choice to live in affordable housing, then that's a little different mindset that's workable.
Right, and I definitely understand what they're trying to do here,
mm-hmm.
but
right.
we've just seen over and over that
the government should just not even have a say.
The government just needs to stay out of things to a certain degree.
Right.
it really just rarely turns out well.
Right, right.
So if you want to see more information about any of the three topics we've covered here, because we talked about what's going on with the economy, the unemployment, and the U6 unemployment number that we really should be looking at, that's at 10.5% right now. We've talked about the Supreme Court ruling that's going to increase the amount of lawsuits on housing discrimination. We've also talked about how Obama is trying to diversify wealthy neighborhoods. If you want to see those, visit our website at doughaldeman.com, doughaldeman.com, and look at the blog post. We'll put links in our blog post that'll take you to several articles on these topics if you want to learn more about it. So coming up, do you know the difference between a loan officer and a debt strategist? You're going to learn it when we return. You'll listen to Doug Haldeman Show on FM News Talk 97.1, sponsored by Cornerstone Mortgage.